Over 1 year after Klamath dams were removed, researchers are seeing massive changes to the flora and fauna from Oregon all the way to Humboldt. Right now, over 20 different groups, including local tribes, government officials, and scientists, are working together to study the changes in the Klamath River after the dams went down, studying the salmon's movements, the river's water temperature, and even implementing AI into their data processing practices. Damon Goodman, the regional director for California Trout, shared his thoughts on the collaboration efforts and the positive impact it is having on the project.
There's different folks in that 21 organizations. Different groups are bringing their expertise to the table where they can, you know, and we're very much working as a team on this. And the expertise or geographic specialization of different organizations kind of, you know, they come to the table with what they can. For example, the Klamath tribes are working above in Oregon and above Klamath Lake. And that makes sense for their geography, you know, their geography to plug in that way. And the Karuk tribe is really engaged with us. Cal Trout member and the Karuk tribe are out today actually netting fish and tagging them. And then the Klamath tribes are up above maintaining the monitoring stations that will detect them as they move upstream. So that's just an example of how this collaboration is working. And it's very much a collaborative process where everybody's bringing what they can to the table to support each other.
Taz Soto, the Karuk tribe's senior research and policy advisor, is spending his time researching on the ground, researching salmon movements, and collecting samples from the fish they are finding. They are using this data to better understand the new migration patterns of the fish and get a better understanding of what the next couple of years will look like.
I think the first step is just learning kind of where the fish go, learning about their distribution throughout the watershed now that there's a lot more habitat. You know, the Klamath just got a lot bigger for salmon. There's over 400 miles of habitat that was previously blocked by the dam. So now fish are distributing into that habitat. We're found fish already up into Oregon and through Klamath Lake. Klamath tribes are documenting salmon all the way up into the Williamson Sprague River. So salmon are moving much further than they had access to before the dam removal. What we're doing is we're concentrating on doing radio telemetry. So we're putting radio tags in adult salmon as they migrate and tracking where they go, how fast. I think before setting up a long-term monitoring system, you kind of just need to know the basics of where the fish are going and how far, those kind of things. And then you can determine, okay, where are the hot spots for fish production, spawning. This spring, we'll be looking at out-migrating salmon, see how successful these adult salmon that are going up and spawning. So I think we're just taking it one step at a time. You know, as far as a salmon population response, these salmon, their origins aren't from the upper Klamath. The salmon have a 2 to 3 to 4 year, sometimes 5 year life cycle. So all these salmon, their origins are either from the old Iron Gate hatchery or from somewhere downstream of Iron Gate. So these are all new places these fish are going to those fish. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of production as far as juvenile fish we get from this current cohort of salmon that are exploring these new habitats. So that's a big question. Among a lot of other questions, I mean, I think that one of the things that Karuk Tribe and Yurok and mainly Cal Trout have done is they've installed a sonar camera at the former Iron Gate dam site. And that camera is able to pick up salmon as they swim by and count fish. So that's a really powerful tool in knowing how many fish migrated upstream. We're also working with partners at RES, Resource Environmental Solutions, to determine fish passage and presence absence in reaches above the former dams. So there's a lot of good work happening right now to kind of monitor what the salmon are doing. I mean, I think our general philosophy is let the fish tell us where they're going and what they need. So that's kind of what we're doing right now in the early stages with the telemetry work.
To help keep track of the fish data, Goodman explained the integration of artificial intelligence to help track the amount of fish moving up the stream instead of calculating everything by hand.
One other thing I'll add is that we've been working with a team recently on integrating artificial intelligence into our data processing that has the potential to increase the speed that we are able to process our information. So to generate that estimate of 7,700 Chinook salmon from last fall, we had to review over 2,000 hours of sonar footage, and that was a lot of work. But what we're getting to now is a process where a model is being built by these computer scientists from Caltech and MIT, specifically designed for the Klamath. And what that's going to do is provide us the ability to increase the speed in which we process our information and get that information to the community that is interested in the Klamath and that manages the Klamath. So that should open some doors into the future to improve the way we manage our fish here in the Klamath.
There have been a lot of different factors that have helped change the migration patterns of the salmon, including water quality, temperature, and movement. Soto explained the biggest changes he has seen that have helped with not only the amount of salmon sightings, but also the overall health has vastly improved.
The biggest changes, I mean, there's a lot of changes, and it's hard to just pin one or two changes. There's a lot of change that happened. From the water quality standpoint, we're seeing changes in water quality. When the dams were removed, there were high sediment concentrations moving down the river, a lot of sediment flushing out of the system, and that has improved quite a bit. We're seeing probably one of the biggest changes is just the temperature of the river. We're just in the first 2 years of monitoring since the reservoirs have been gone. We're seeing the river cooling off faster in the kind of late summer, fall period when salmon migrate up the river. So that's been good for the salmon that are migrating up the Klamath. The reservoirs were these large bodies of water that collected heat over the summer and then cooled off slower. So the actual river below Iron Gate Dam wasn't reacting to local air temperatures. You know, when in the late part of the summer, the days begin to get shorter and the nights are longer and the sun sets lower in the horizon, rivers normally cool off. That's true with all the rivers here, but when you have a large reservoir of warm water, it takes longer for that water to cool off. So we saw that right away, and that helps with salmon migration because salmon are swimming into cold water versus migrating up into a river that's warmer. And there's other implications for salmon health. This year, we're seeing salmon that are brighter, seeing less incidence of disease. Fish just seem to be in better condition.
For the Kurok tribe, the process of getting the dams removed has been a long, hard process. But now the dams have been taken down, and they can go back to their roots and be a part of their fishing culture again, Soto explained.
I've worked for the Kurok tribe for a long time, and you know, I know that dam removal was a long process, and it took a lot of energy to do that, and tribal people were committed to helping see that through. And now the reality is that salmon are migrating up the river, migrating past the former dam sites. I would say it gives everyone a lot of hope that when you work really hard at something, you can have success. And, you know, I'm not a Kurok tribal member, but I can say that Kurok people are salmon people. They value salmon highly, and it's part of the lifeblood of their culture. And harvesting salmon, eating salmon is still something that they practice today and take seriously. And, you know, so this is a huge boost to their ability to eat healthy food and practice their fishing culture.
This is not a one-year project. The tribes and officials understand this will be a long process before the full impact can be truly seen. Right now, the salmon are exceeding everyone's expectations, but because of the life cycle of salmon, this is a multi-year project and the data will need to be collected for years to come.